Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. Ain't nothing wrong at all about that. Amen. I'd much rather hear that than hear snoring. Praise his holy name. Brother Simpson had to step out. He got word that his daughter had some kind of emergency. I have no idea what the emergency is, but Brother Simpson had to go see about his daughter. I want you to pray for him. And then the last day to register to vote is October the 5th. Election day is November the 3rd. Make sure you're registered by October the 5th. If you need a little encouragement on your journey, listen to this. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the man of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." I've entitled this sermon, "When the Haters Come." When the haters come. If that's too fancy for you, when negativity comes. The book of Nehemiah is concerned with rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. The people had sinned, ignored the prophet, and God got angry and sent Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar to tear up the temple, tear up the wall, to destroy Jerusalem. After the people repented of their many sins, God allowed them to go back home and rebuild not only the temple with Ezra, but now the wall with Nehemiah. As they were making progress, putting brick on top of brick, filling in gaps with mortar and with timber, it was Sanballat, Tobiah, and others who got very angry that they were rebuilding what sin had tore down. And that was bad enough, but even the Jews around the work went out of their way to tell them 10 times, "We're going to get killed. We're going to get killed. We're going to get killed. 10 times. They didn't pick up one brick, but 10 times. They can tell you, you're not going to make it. And then even in verse 12, the people who were actually working on the wall caught the negative spirit around them and said, there's too much rubble around here. We can't not get the job done. What do you do when people are hating on you from every angle? What do you do when you're trying to do a good work for the Lord and you can't find a word of encouragement? There's negativity everywhere. Nehemiah suggests by his example that we ought to engage in prayerful work. We ought to pray. That's what verse 8 tells us, that while they were plotting, while they were scheming, the ninth verse says, we prayed unto God. But they also worked. Bible says that in addition to praying, verse 13, people went and got their swords, their spears, their bows. While they prayed, somebody was on guard duty. There was a prayerful work lifted as a counter for negativity. And that's what I'm saying to us today. We should counter negativity with prayerful work. Now, I need to say something about negativity. These Jews were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. They were rebuilding their life. They were putting things back together again. And out of the clear blue sky, haters showed up at their doorstep. And listen here now. When you try to do what God tells you to do, people who you did not know even knew your name will show up on your doorstep to hate on you. Now, I think I ought to tell you, we ought to be making some progress. Some of us don't have no haters in our life because we're not making any progress. Devil don't mess with people who don't produce a threat to his kingdom. Some of us are nothing but sideline athletes. Our jersey never get dirty because we never do anything except talk about what woulda, coulda, shoulda happened as we sit comfortably with our legs crossed on the sideline. But every now and then, when you make up in your mind to get out here in the middle of the field and put your shoulder to the wheel, you can expect that the devil is going to come your way. Now, make sure you're making some progress. When you look at your life today, you ought to have a mind to live holier this year than you've ever lived in your life. As you look at how the Lord has blessed you to see so many birthdays, shouldn't nobody have to tell you, you ought to take care of the temple that God has given you this year better than you have in the past. There ought to be some progress in your family. If you're married, you ought to strive to be the best spouse that you can be. If you're the husband, you ought to learn that to be the head of the house means you are responsible for loving and taking care of the house. If you are the wife, you ought to learn how to submit to and support your husband. And if you're having problems in playing your position, can I suggest to us that you ought to find somebody who's doing a good job with this marriage stuff and seek their encouragement and support? But you ought to have enough sense to know that the last person you want to go and seek advice from about your marriage is somebody who's not married. Ain't nothing deep or heavy about that. You ain't got to go to seminary to figure that out. You wouldn't want to go talk to somebody that can't keep a husband, can't keep a boyfriend, can't even keep a goldfish. You wouldn't go talk to that one about how to take care and how to relate to your husband. You wouldn't go to somebody who's married, but they're always fussing and fighting with one another. They are unhappily married. It's not but so much advice they can give you about a happy marriage, because it is not their own experience. You ought to be working on your family. We ought to work on our community. We ought to find ourselves giving more effort to making this community what God would call it to be than we've ever done in the history of our church. But as we're making progress, I think I ought to tell you that negativity will come, first of all, from our enemies. And the devil knows how to use people, don't he? It's hard to find the devil just strolling down the street by himself. He always gets into somebody. In this text, he gets into Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and others. He gets somebody else to throw the stone. He gets somebody else to sow a seed of discord. But you know, we kind of expect our enemies to hate on us. I want to push you to look at verse 11 and see not only enemies, but in verse 12, those around you will hate on you. In verse 12, Jews who did not even pick up a stone to rebuild the temple went out of their way to tell the people who were doing the best they could 10 times, you're not going to make it. They're going to kill us. They're going to attack us. Their things are bad. We'll never make it. 10 times the energy they used to say we could not make it. They could have picked up a stone and put it in place. I lift this because there's somebody here who is getting serious about moving beyond being just a member. You are beginning to see the reality of serving a true and living God. And you think these churchified folks sitting around you would encourage you to go on and see what the end's gonna be. I don't want you to be surprised when even church folk hate on you because you are trying to live for Jesus. Your church buddies would say you ain't got to go to every prayer meeting. You don't have to go to Sunday school every Sunday. Church folk would tell you you ain't got to pay all of your tithes. They would tell you you ain't got to do all of that smiling. You ain't got to be that happy. You don't have to invite everybody you see. Folk you would think would be encouraging you in the Lord can oftentimes be the greatest and most disappointing source of negativity in your life. But not only the enemies and those around us, if we're not careful, we will catch that disease of negativity. Verse 10, the very people who were on the wall began to talk about how there's too much rubble around here. We'll never be able to rebuild this wall. If you're not careful, the company you keep, their attitude will begin to rub off on you. Whereas you used to be so excited about serving the Lord, you'll find yourself beginning to doubt, is God really in this place? Whereas you used to walk by faith and just trust the Lord to work it out somehow, now fear began to grip your heart. Whereas you used to just trust God with the assignment, now you want to question everything. Whereas you used to be excited and you would want to come shake the pastor's hand and tell the pastor, thank you for preaching the word. The word blessed my life this week. Now you begin to say, well, I don't need to shake his hand. I mean, what's the use? if you're not careful, the company that you keep will rub off on you. The more progress you make in doing what God is calling you to do, then the more negativity and the more haters will show up in your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to catch that bug in your own spirit. Well, what should I do? The text urges us, we ought to prayerfully work. Notice that compound idea, prayer and work. Nehemiah said, when he saw what was going on, one of the first things he did was make time to pray. The Bible goes on to say that he reminded the people of how great and how awesome God was. Are y'all listening to me? When Nehemiah saw haters surrounding the work, he said, this is what I need to do. I need to remind the people of God for whom we work. He says that we're working for a great and awesome God. And Southern, I say to us today that every now and then we need to pull over and remind ourselves for whom we work. We are not out here all by ourselves, but we are working for the same God who spoke this whole world into existence. We are working for the same God who taught the birds how to fly and the fish how to swim. We're working for the same God who made the lions leave Daniel alone and made the fire leave the three Hebrew boys alone. We're working for the same God who took care of our foreparents through dangers seen and unseen. The same God who put a happy song in the hearts of our foreparents in spite of unhappy times. Put I got shoes and you got shoes and all of God's children got shoes. Put a happy song in the hearts of those who pick cotton and crack tobacco in the heat of the day. The same God who took those who had dogs sicked on them and fire hoses turned on them. The same God that taught that crowd how to sing, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. That same God is on our side. Did you hear me? And I've learned that the bigger God is in our own eyes, then the smaller our problems are. Did you hear me? When you have a great big God, then all of your problems become so small. Did you hear me? But when you take your eyes off of God and try to fight all by yourself, then your problems begin to overwhelm you. So please, 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 y'all, make time to pray. You're not in this thing all by yourself. We have a God to serve. We have a God to glorify. But that's not all happening in the text. They prayed, but they also worked. They didn't just think about the goodness of God. Verse 13 said, they gathered their sword, and they gathered their spear, and they gathered their bow. In other words, they prayed and they worked. It looked like they knew that faith without works is dead. They knew that they could not pray and brick would just jump up on another brick. They knew they had to pray and work. And somebody came through here today to hear that word that you gotta pray and work. You can't spend all your time in the prayer meeting. You gotta pray and work. Can't you see that there's still gaps in the wall? There's still work that needs to be done. There's too few people getting saved in our churches. Too few disciples falling out with their wicked ways. Can't you see the gaps? Too much shacking in our homes. Too many folk unequally owned. Too many of our children know more about Barney and Sesame Street than they know about the Lord. Is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can't you see the gaps? Can't you see unfinished business? There's more of our men locked up in jail than those matriculating in college. Too many of our women are HIV positive. Too many of our seniors are running out of money before they run out of time. All I'm trying to get you to see is we gotta pray and work. But thanks be unto God, the same God that took care of them is able and willing to take care of us. The same God who dried up the Red Sea, he will take care of us. The same God who took care of a woman with an issue of blood, he will take care of his own. The same God who took care of our foreparents, he will take care of us. The same God who watched over our foreparents through the Middle Passage from West Africa over the Atlantic Ocean to our colonies. The same God who watched over our foreparents for 247 years of slavery. The same God who took care of a big mama them for 100 years of Jim Crowism. The same God that watched over our foreparents. He will take care of his own. I just got to tell you this. Yes, they prayed and they worked in Nehemiah chapter 4. But it was not until Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 15 that they finished rebuilding the wall. So it might be somebody here in chapter 4 of your situation. Please don't throw in the towel. It might be somebody in chapter 5. You can't see any light, but just keep on pressing on. You might be in chapter 6, but only verse 1. You gotta hold on a little while longer. If you hold on and hold out, the Lord will see to it that you make it to verse 15. When the haters come in your line, pray and work. When there is negativity all around you, don't give the haters the satisfaction of worrying about what they're gonna do. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. God, 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 God will take care of his own. Anybody here ever tried, my Lord? Won't he take care of his own? Anybody here got haters in your line? Anybody here just trying to do what the Lord told you to do? And every time you turn around, somebody is hating on you. Anybody here trying to walk by faith and not by sight? And every time you turn around, somebody is running their mouth about you. This is what you gotta do. Just keep on praying. Keep on working. Keep on praying. Keep on working. Keep on telling the Lord all about your trouble. Just keep on putting one step in front of the other. God will, God will, God will, God will take care, take care, take care, take care. Of his own. I dare you to trust him. I dare you to make up in your mind to keep your mind on the Lord instead of the haters in your life. What do you do when every time you turn around there's negativity? Can't find a word of encouragement anywhere. You got to prayerfully work. You got to keep pressing towards the prize. And I promise you, If you keep pressing, there's a Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. In all of our life, if we don't quit, if we don't throw in the towel, if we don't become overwhelmed by our enemies, if we keep our eyes on the prize, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not yet entered the hearts of men where God has prepared for those who love the Lord. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a mighty good day to come on over on the Lord's side. My sister, my brother, today's a good day to say yes to the Lord. If you know you need to get saved, if you know you need to make your peace with God, if you know you need to join or be reinstated in the church, the invitation is extended. You ought to come and let the Lord do something with your life. The haters will keep coming in your life.